Happy, happy Thursday, my friends. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Top stories, continuing resolution. I believe it's going to be dead on arrival. This thing is packed full of pork like you wouldn't believe. You can't possibly be for Doge and vote for this bill, I don't think. But we'll dig into that a little bit further. Right now, though, we've got our special guest in the studio, Marion County Commissioner Carl Zalek in the house. Good morning, Carl. How you doing?
Good morning. You know, we did have some pork for Thanksgiving, but it shouldn't be in the bill, right?
Oh, man. It is 1,500 pages.
Golly.
All but 15 pages is pork. 15 pages is the actual resolution.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, isn't that
sick?
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So, hopefully,
thank God we don't do stuff like that around here, you know?
Well, you're right.
Can you imagine?
Marion County has things pretty well managed, and it's one of the reasons why we have you on. Maybe to remind other local folks of how government can be done well.
Yeah, we could do it good, right?
And you can also be a giver, like bring the harvest home that you've been doing for years.
Yeah.
Just give us, grand total.
I just wanted to tell you, say thank you to all the people. You know, we talked about it on the air. So many folks came out and brought food downtown and to other locations. More than 30,490 pounds of food and $20,550 in donations. So Bring the Harvest Home was, again, a huge hit, and we're going to be able to help for 2024 through this Christmas and holiday season. So many families, Interfaith Emergency Services, Salvation Army, Brothers Keeper, and Vets Helping Vets all will get these contributions, and our community will continue to help those in need and most vulnerable populations we serve.
People,
I think it's incredible. Thank you. People come together
to help their neighbors. That's the way it should be. And, yeah, the folks in Marion County, right on. And same thing. A lot of litter on the roads. You recognized there was an issue, and a task force was formed in 2021, and you've got to be able to see and measure some of the results.
Yeah, so it was really interesting. We've been talking about litter. We you see it on the roads, and really, what a stain on our community. You know, mm-hmm. You drive through a place, and you see this bag of litter exploded on the side of a road or people's lunch and all this kind of stuff. And it really, you know, in a beautiful place like Florida, a beautiful place like Marion County and Alachua County, I mean, you just don't want to see those kind of things, right? And so organizations came together to help investigate, our litter hero for the fourth quarter. And so we were trying to connect the dots on this litter arrest in Marion Oaks, where over 1,200 pounds of trash was abandoned at multiple locations.
1,200 pounds.
Yep, 1,200 pounds. So a pretty good amount of trash. Thanks to the efforts of Marion County Code Enforcement, the Sheriff's Office, Solid Waste Litter Specialist, dump sites were not only cleaned up, but evidence was provided to the sheriff deputies to make an arrest. And so we were incredibly proud of our partners, and we want folks to know that we're not messing around. And we will arrest you if you, especially commercial loads like this kind of thing, or you think you're smart and you're going to spread it out over a bunch of locations. We will find you, and the Sheriff's Department will arrest you. And we're getting even more and more folks and business partners to come alongside us, like Coca-Cola, HTM, and Express Care of Bellevue, and Public Supermarkets are all joining the Litter Task Force to let people know that we're not horsing around.
I like how you worked that in. Good job. That's why they pay you the big bucks.
Yes, sir.
People in Marion County, they love animals, and you've also come out strong as an advocate. Tell me about Molly's Law and how you've enacted that.
So Molly is, since 2017, is the hero, basically, of our animal abuse registry. And so we're just really celebrating her memory, all the things that she stood for, even though she went through a devastating beating, but came out as a survivor. And we use her as that expression of faith that we have that, people are really good for the most part. But unfortunately, when you meet these people that are actually evil to the point where they would do that kind of harm to an animal, and a lot of times even to a person after that, they need to be on in a registry not to own an animal again. And that registry needs to expand, not just in Marion County, but across the state of Florida.
I agree.
So Senator McLean was there with us to celebrate January as Marion County Animal Abuse Registry Awareness Month. And we're just letting people know, hey, this is there. Make sure you check it if you were ever to adopt your pet out, and make sure that you're not adopting it to someone that is on one of these registries. But at the same time, is what we need to do is really try to help get this statewide. So we're making that effort.
And anybody who's listening in activist positions or positions of power in other areas besides Marion County, check it out, marionfl.org, and it'll be a subtitle under that. But you can find great information about that registry. And we can stop this, or at least try to limit as much
Such
as we can.
Such a great point. Thanks,
animals.
Bob. Yeah, because people see this way, way larger range from your show than just Marion County. So
yeah, no,
that would be awesome.
And we're happy to play that role. And you also want to hear from, your constituents in Marion County and get their input as, every 7 years you do this special survey?
Yeah, so the EAR report is an evaluation appraisal review. It's one of these acronyms the government continues to have, right? But what it is it's the planning piece. So, listen, I get calls on a regular basis telling us, hey, I like this, Commissioner. I think you guys did a good job here on this road or subdivision or whatever. And then other people that say, hey, this is too much. This is too dense. This is too whatever, right? And so this is the chance for our public to come in and tell us what they really think. What do they want our community to look like? Because our comprehensive plan, if you will, is the constitution for land development for local governments. And that tells us, that dictates how we develop.
You want to do the will of the people.
Right.
You can't do the will of people if you
if
don't,
don't
know what
it them,
is.
Right. And so take this survey, go to marionfl.org/ or is that a forward slash? EAR. So check it out. Go to our webpage. Yep. It's an evaluation and appraisal report. And tell us, what do you want it to look like? How do you want lots to be developed? What do you want traffic to look like? Listen, we all know that we're dealing with those things and the congestion and growth. Listen, our great governor opened up the state of Florida and said, hey, if you want to be free, come to Florida. Well, the local government, we're trying to figure out how do we deal with that for the next 20 years.
I am not a fan of what I call stupid planning, the new urban planning, whatever they want to call it.
Yeah.
Where you can't get to where you want to go. Say you go to a local business and they say you must turn right. And then they build up all the dividers on the road.
Right, yeah.
So, but then at the first opportunity where you could get back to actually where you want to go, there's always a no U-turn sign.
Yeah.
I want to whip those signs out and stuff. Look, there's some cases where you say, this makes sense, but a lot of them, they don't make sense. And what I like about the fact that you're doing the survey this way, people are busy. Not everybody has time to go to a commission meeting.
They don't. Exactly.
Yet here, your input is actually going to be looked at, and then they're going to have a record of it, so you can go into a meeting and go, hey, here's some of the things we heard.
Can I tell you the unfortunate part, Bob?
Yeah.
Is that probably less than 2-5% of our population will take this survey. Let's be honest.
That's going to change this year.
And I hope through getting on your show and more, we're going to get closer to 10. But if we get 10 to 15% of our population telling us what they want, we can really make real decisions.
Yes.
If we get 1% of the population telling us, well,
is it the anomaly?
Right?
Is it the squeaky wheel? Is this? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why we need your input so badly. This is really going to make a difference. Listen, my friends, we are going to make policy decisions based on your input. And so your voice in this survey, by taking a simple 10-minute survey, will change the way Marion County will look for the next 20 years.
Wow. That's powerful. Go to marionfl.org/ear. But you'll find it under marionfl.org. There'll be a thing under survey, a subheading or something.
That's right.
I'm guessing.
We got it, buddy.
I just hope that you have an awesome Christmas time with you and your beautiful family. I wish you all well, and I'm looking forward to a great 2025, Carl.
We cannot wait. January 20th is right around the corner.
Right on. Woo! So it's Happy New Year's, and then we're going to celebrate again on the 20th.
On the 20th, that's right.
You
that might be
it.
The next, the second July 4th.
Right on.
For America.
Marion County Commissioner Carl Zalek, always a pleasure, my friend. It is 8:16. We got a ton of stuff to talk about, including a Teamster strike that could be affecting your Christmas via Amazon. Details on the way. 97.3, The Sky.
the Christmas holiday.
I think that it can become too commercialized.
We all get caught up in it.
If you go to the malls in the evening, you can find a parking place pretty easily.
We at the Sky know it's more than the new this.
I want an Emerald City Lego set.
And the new that.
I want a fun vacation from Santa this year.
A lot more.
Celebrate the birth of Jesus.
Time to share with family and friends.
Brings the best out of people.
Being with family and just all of the family together.
Merry Christmas. From News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Yeah. Get closer. Both to the holidays and to Friday. Happy Thursday. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. It's 8:21. Don't forget Bob Rose Show podcast. You can download that wherever you normally get your podcast. Just click on subscribe. One of your top stories, Christmas canceled. I'm not kidding. Well, I'm not kidding that that's actually a headline.
Oh, my.
Subheading, Teamster strike hits Amazon. Look, two sides to every story. Now, yes, it's true. The International Brotherhood of Teamsters said workers at seven Amazon facilities will begin their strike this morning. And yes, they have.
But that sounds like Amazon shut down and nobody's getting anything for Christmas.
That, yes, that is, in essence, I think, the simple message and the basic message, if you don't read any deeper into the stories, absolutely. But like I said, two sides to every story. Now, again, the number sounds impressive. The Teamsters say they represent nearly 10,000 workers at 10 Amazon facilities. But that's just a fraction of the 1.5 million people that actually Amazon employs in its warehouse and corporate offices. And here's another important note. These people actually that they're talking about don't work directly for Amazon. And I think that's important to note that because, you know, they are their own sort of entity, right? Amazon is pushing its workers closer to the picket line by failing to show them the respect they've earned. Now, that's from the Teamsters General President Sean O'Brien in a statement. Meanwhile, Amazon says the delivery drivers, which the Teamsters have organized for more than a year, are not its employees. Under its business model, the drivers work for third-party business called Delivery Service Partners, and they drop off millions of packages to customers every day. And he said, for more than a year now, actually, she said, the Teamsters have continued to intentionally mislead the public, claiming that they represent thousands of Amazon employees and drivers. They don't. This is another attempt to push a false narrative. Okay, you're splitting hairs a little bit because here's what consumers are most worried about. Am I going to get my packages by Christmas?
Right.
Will it impact what I'm trying to do? And the answer is yes. However, to what degree is uncertain, and it's believed that it's not going to have a huge impact. It may have some impact. It may put you back a day or two on delivery days and times, which in a lot of cases are kind of in a state of flux anyway, if you've noticed when you've ordered stuff that, you know, they promise one day and occasionally you'll get notification that, oh, I'm sorry, we can't quite make that deadline. So it's just like we used to hear when the post office used to say, but get, yeah, if you're going to be mailing packages for the holidays, you better get your butt down to the post office.
I think they really had a nice little jingle that said about mailing early. I don't think they referenced any body parts.
You better get your tuchus down here now.
Maybe that would have been more effective.
And make sure that you have proper postage on all of your items. Remember that?
You don't want to get sent back.
No, you don't. Return to sender.
Yep.
Thank you, Elvis. Always,
thank you
he's always playing some role in and around us, I feel like. And that's you, Greg.
Elvis still lives in our heart.
Right on, brother. Yeah. All right. So anyway, that's I try to give you what I dig in and try to find the truth. So yes, there's a strike. Yes, it could impact your delivery times. But Amazon wants to make it clear that the folks don't work directly for us. And that does kind of, I would imagine, complicate things. I mean, wouldn't it actually be Amazon would work with delivery service partners to renegotiate some sort of a deal? Or their strike is really against delivery service partners and the workers are trying to renegotiate their deal? but to...
It gets convoluted.
Well, it does, like so many things. It's not always A connects to B connects to C.
No.
Sometimes it's they're making it A to C and not telling you B. Mm-hmm. And I think this is exactly that case in that scenario.
Well, yeah, because you want the dramatic headline.
More headlines and dramatic.
Yeah.
Sort of. Anti-dramatic, maybe. Biden feels bored, angry, and moody after 51 years in politics. Interesting, isn't it? Bored, angry, and moody.
But we've watched his career. He may not have been bored, but he's been angry and moody like a long time. Years and years and years and years.
And by the way, this isn't from some right-wing conservative outlet.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the New York Times.
Oh, my goodness.
When the New York Times says Biden is bored, angry, and moody,
they know.
There might be some truth to it.
Yeah.
President Joe Biden appears to be struggling with the prospect of retiring from public life, according to the New York Times report that was published Tuesday. After Democrats ousted him as their presidential candidate in July, Biden, who is now 82, has been a public official since 1973. 51 years.
Too long.
And apparently not enjoying the prospects of sunsetting his over half a century long career at the center of American politics. That, according to New York Times, Peter Baker and Zolan Cano Young's reporting. Biden allegedly told allies after he dropped out of the race that he was bored, moody, and angry. Those are the words that have been expressed. He's apparently angry because many Democrats opposed his pardon of his son.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what? If you wanted them not to be angry, you shouldn't have lied to them.
Yeah.
I mean, look, talk about a disconnect.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, I gave you the out. I said, as a father, if I'm in the same situation, my kid's going to go to prison, but yet I have the power to keep them free. What parent is not going to exercise that? I mean, unless your kid is a serial murderer, but short of that.
Yeah.
Short of that, I mean, see, there are some things that are actually bigger than politics, or at least they should be, and I think a father-son relationship is one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So when they asked him, are you going to pardon your son, I think everybody already knew the answer, of course, and he should have just said that. Well, if it comes to that, of course I will. Or at the very least, he could have said, well, I've got to consider, all kinds of things, but at this point, not. Really? You're not going to pardon your own son? Would be a legitimate follow-up question, which nobody I heard or saw asked it.
No,
really? You're not going to pardon your own son? Your only son? Because, as he has told us many times, he lost his other son, Bo.
Uh-huh.
So if they would have asked him that, he could have said, well, we'll see. I mean,
leave a door open.
Isn't that
somewhere.
The easiest way out?
Absolutely.
Isn't that what our parents told us forever when we wanted something?
Yes.
I want a BB gun for Christmas. I want a BB gun. I want the Daisy. I want the lever action one. Mom.
We'll see.
Mom. We'll see. We'll see, Robbie, if you're a good boy. Oh, and I'm thinking under my breath, oh, crap, all bets are off now. No, I was a joy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And humble.
Yeah.
It's 8:28. It's the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and we still have a lot to get to. The sentencing of a black widow or the unsentencing. I'll explain next on 97.3 The Sky. He was a peach of a man, said nobody with a brain ever. Good morning and welcome. It's 8:35. Craig's already snickering. He knows where I'm going. Yep. On this date in 1998, President Clinton was impeached.
Well, that was the pits.
Yes. And not even with a cobbler.
No.
Nope. He was impeached after nearly 14 hours of debate. The House of Representatives approved two articles of impeachment against Bill Clinton, charging him with lying under oath to a federal grand jury and obstructing justice. Okay. Let's move on to better things.
What you got?
On this date.
Yes.
In 1777, George Washington leads troops into winter quarters at Valley Forge.
Can you imagine what that had to be like?
Cold.
That winter? Wow, you had imagined it already.
Cold.
You had the answer just like that.
The wind blowing out the Delaware River? Oh, are you kidding me?
Oh, I can't imagine.
Winds coming out of the northeast?
Mm-mm.
Ah.
No.
And it was treacherous. The crossing and then just trying to stay warm. But George Washington prevailed.
Mm-hmm.
It's an amazing, it really is when you look back, it's an amazing story.
It is.
It is, well, it's Ukraine defeating Russia, let's just say, right? Except there was no U.S. funding the Ukrainian part of it.
Right.
Now, we had some help. We had some French. We had some, remember the Hessians, right? Our German friends.
Right.
So we had some help, that is true.
But not a superpower, that which did not exist, because England was the superpower at the time.
And, oh, yeah, by far.
And we're a bunch of good old boys with long guns hiding behind trees.
Never underestimate the power of a redneck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah!
A redneck will outdo a redcoat any day.
Wow. You just said that just now.
I did.
I was going to say we could make a T-shirt, but... Could we sell them in England? Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Speaking of England, A Christmas Carol was published this day in 1843. Charles Dickens. What an impact that he really had. I mean, really, he had a huge impact. This was 1843. And it really changed the way that, you know, Christmas was thought of. And how people, I don't know, everything, every aspect of it was impacted. And if a great movie that I was told about this last year, The Man Who Invented Christmas, is a great movie. It's a must-see. It deals with Charles Dickens up to while he was writing A Christmas Carol.
Interesting.
Things like how he came up with the name for this character, this nasty curmudgeon who needed guidance and help, who became, in his book, Ebenezer Scrooge. And, I mean, what a...
Perfect.
And also, bah, humbug.
Mm-hmm.
Humbug, I say. And Dickens had a tough life. Yeah, his dad was in the Navy, and he was thrown into debtor's prison in 1824, so Charles Dickens was only 12 years old. He had to go to work in a factory.
Wow.
And back then, child labor laws were non-existent, and anything reasonable, fair, or nice was not the rule of the day. It was miserable beyond belief, and that's why that debtor's jail and all that is intertwined in some of his books, including A Christmas Carol. But, and it was published on this day. So remember what it is. It's December 19th.
Wow. Timing.
And he was able to sell all 400 copies because that's all they could get done by Christmas. That was the first installment. But by the 15th episode, 40,000 copies were printed. And when it was published in book form in 1837, Dickens became the most popular author of the day.
Amazing what one book can do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Davis Gainesville Chevrolet Skylines. Let's talk to Roy. Good morning.
You're talking about Revolutionary War and rednecks. Well, let's be honest about it. What most people don't realize is we did actually have some automatic type weapons that were made by the American people. They are in the museums up in D.C. The Marine Museum has several of them. As like most people don't realize, yes, we did have automatic weapons in the Civil War, the Revolutionary War.
Wow. I did not know that. Because I know the Gatling gun hadn't come out yet, I don't think. And even that, what was it? Was it the Civil War? There was a war where it had been available, but they just didn't think it would be effective.
I could use one of those in the back of my Jeep.
Yes.
Isn't that cool?
But who's gonna ride back there? Who's gonna sit in the bombardier's pit?
Oh, Jen can handle it.
Wow.
Yeah. Might as well look good doing it, right?
Well, there you go. Yeah. Oh, wow, that chick's hot. I don't mind getting shot.
It's a distraction technique.
You can shoot me, lady, but tie me up first. Wow. Yeah, Merry Christmas. That was for the kids. Because it's a family show. Yeah, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Sometimes families don't get along.
That's true. And the stresses of the holidays can make that worse.
Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes things go way too far.
Uh-oh.
And you kill your spouse, which is not recommended.
Whether it's Christmas or not, or any holiday.
But apparently, Joe Biden,
yeah,
he'd forgive you. He'd let you go.
Really?
Let me explain. First of all, when we were going over stories before the show, Greg, you said, you know, a black widow, and I'm writing down because I do, you know, I put down my little shorthand cheat sheet notes, right?
I know where your brain went.
Yeah, I was thinking.
You thought a black woman whose husband died.
Who cares what color she was? She's a widow now. She killed her husband. It did. It took me,
that's funny.
A few seconds, and I'm like, oh.
Emphasis is everything.
I have a lot of those moments. But it's good because I feel like I'm sort of, I don't know, still in learning mode, which is a good thing, right?
Yeah.
President Joe Biden commuted the sentence of Josephine Gray, known as the Black Widow, for being implicated in the murders of two of her husbands. And wait, we're not done yet.
Yeah.
And her boyfriend.
Wow.
I'm gonna kill them all.
You really don't want to be next in line to go out with this person.
No.
And apparently if she's been commuted, she's going to be out there again.
Well, I guess her her motive was collecting insurance.
Oh.
Yeah, she fraudulently collected life insurance payouts.
It was an income stream. Okay.
An income stream. When one dries up, another's got to die.
Huh.
Biden granted clemency to 1,499 people last week, and what the White House boasted was the largest such grant in one day in American history. They boast about it. Now, some of them, maybe their sentences were excessive.
Well, they said they were nonviolent. That's what the headline said. Nonviolent. Well, maybe she wasn't violent about how she killed them. Maybe it was like poison or something.
I was going to say the poison thing, and then I thought, I've never been poisoned, but I can imagine that would be very nasty.
Could be, but it's not like hitting your head with a hammer. That would be violent. So they can get by with saying these were nonviolent criminals.
I don't know. Right. Convulsing and choking and not being able to get air for a period of maybe minutes or possibly even hours.
No, if that
sounds kind of violent to me.
I'd rather just go to sleep and not wake up.
Among the 1,500 granted clemency, Josephine Virginia Gray, sentenced to 40 years in prison in 2002 for insurance fraud schemes connected to the murders of three men between 1974 and 1996.
Wow, what a stretch. We don't want to do the same crime too often, you get caught.
Right.
Easier, yeah.
Gray was resentenced to the same amount of time again in 2006 following a series of appeals. She collected $165,000 from three insurance settlements, charged with murder by Maryland state authorities, but ultimately convicted in federal court in 2002 for insurance fraud for violating what's known as the Slayer's Rule, which prohibits killers from receiving inheritance and insurance proceeds from their victim's death, which you didn't think there'd have to be a law. That would be an automatic.
Right. Oh, my goodness.
And apparently witnesses to Gray's various trials accused her of using intimidation tactics, threats of voodoo.
Wow.
To coerce them into remaining silent. It was witchcraft, mostly, said the brother of Gray's third victim, as he stated in the Washington Post back in 2002.
That's a little creepy.
So I guess it's another way to go, Brandon.
Yeah.
The world is just a little safer now that you're... Yeah.
Black magic from a black widow.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We've got a lot more coming up on News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Giving the gift of information every 30 minutes on the Sky.
So much happening in the world today.
Check your list twice, but check in 3, 4, 5 times a day to unwrap the latest news.
Wow, just what I need.
News Talk 97.3, The Sky.
Sorry about that. I pulled a Joe Biden on you earlier, and somebody called me out. And I appreciate it, because I'd rather be right and admit that I made an error than to allow it to go on. And I have to say I did pretty well in American history studies and was quite challenged by several good teachers back in the day. Mm. I accidentally said just a little while ago, we had help in the Revolutionary War, and I named as part of that help the German Hessian soldiers. They didn't help us. They helped the Brits.
Well, no.
I had a 50-50 shot of being correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was just pretty proud that I remembered they were called Hessians.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Mm. There were about 30,000 of them, I guess, at some point, they believe, were involved in the war. And they weren't, like, working for themselves, like, as mercs. They were, I mean, the Germans made money off them, like, as the government.
Oh, okay. Funny how that works.
And they thought it would be good to wield some influence and help Great Britain because, well, they even told when Great Britain said, yeah, we could use some help. Mm-hmm. And with your help, man, this is going to be quick and easy. There's going to be big victory, boom, and you guys will be out of there.
Well,
they were there for 7 years, and
we're still here.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking our form of English.
Yeah. So take your sauerkraut. Actually, I like sauerkraut, and it is good for you.
Yeah, it makes the house smell bad.
That's true. A lot of things do, though.
Well, it's like with a lot of foods, even like if you're fixing like a pork roast or something like that. I love the smell of it while it's cooking, but like an hour after dinner, I don't want the old food smell in the house.
Yes, I totally get
that. Or you go to a restaurant and you get home and you're like, you smell like the restaurant?
Yes.
I don't like that. So I'm like opening doors, I'm lighting candles, that kind of thing.
And in some restaurants, their floor is like perpetually greasy. It might be clean, but it feels like there's some coating there, and that really bugs me.
Now, it could be clean, and it's the cleaning product.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh,
yeah.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
There's one that we go to that I know the smell of their cleaning product, because we use it at the house as well. Mm-hmm. But sometimes when you go in, you're like, well, that's not – I appreciate that it's clean. I don't want to smell the cleaning product
over
the smell of the food when I walk into a restaurant.
That's it.
But at least they're doing a good job, though.
Betsy always says, let me go in and smell. But before going to a new restaurant, like say we're on a little trip or whatever, you know, we always have our little getaways.
That's interesting.
Let me go smell.
Really?
And then she come back, she goes, yep, it's legit. Well, she worked with her family, and her sister owned a little Italian restaurant back in the day, back in Tampa.
Gotcha.
And so
you know things.
Yeah, she knows what good smells like.
Well, when the radio station that I worked at years ago in St. Louis, it actually got sold, and we were all going to be losing our jobs, because I had the history as a deputy marshal, you know, the part-time thing. I got on as security at one of the big fancy hotels in downtown St. Louis. Saw the guy walking around with a radio in the black suit routine, basically. But it's kind of like it's like Disney. Fancy hotels and restaurants are a lot like that. There's the facade, and then there's the behind the curtain of what things are really like when bug spray crews come through overnight.
Yeah.
When
things you don't want to see.
What the kitchen is looking like when you're in a polished restaurant.
It literally is the meaning of, we don't want to see how the sausage is made.
No.
Literally.
No. That's very literal and very good.
It was hard to focus through your story, and I'll tell you why. Did you say you were a deputy marshal?
Well, that was our title when I was a reserve.
Now, hold on.
Yes.
Wouldn't that make you Chester?
He was a deputy.
Yeah, deputy marshal, because it was Marshal
Matt Dillon, but I think he was just a deputy, I think. So. You're trying to make me like jingle and walk with a limp is all I'm seeing.
Bring in the gimp! That's all Greg answers to in some places. I don't know. But at least you got it right away.
Oh,
Chester,
I did.
You're like picturing in your mind, you're like,
oh, no. Yeah. I can see him right there in my brain right there. Yeah.
I'll go with the flow sometimes, Bob, when you try to lampoon me, but not all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's why we love you, too. Oh, wait, Biden. And another great pick. I just told you about, he commuted the sentence of a black widow. Yeah, she murdered two husbands, and a boyfriend. But she really got busted for defrauding an insurance company. So, he's going to commute her sentence. That's so nice. And we were told, what, that it wasn't going to be for violent offenders. Murders, I mean, there's a level of violence there. I don't know, just saying. But we have another one. A multi-agency manhunt resulted in the arrest of a South African migrant and suspected terrorist in Brooklyn, New York. Texas Highway Patrol troopers initially detained the unidentified man in Texas, September 2024. Arrested for criminal trespass as part of Texas Governor Greg Abbott's Operation Lone Star. And so turned over to federal immigration authorities for removal proceedings, right? Despite being identified by state authorities as being the subject of an alert on the FBI's terrorist screening database, federal authorities released the migrant to pursue an asylum claim. Can you imagine? You've got a manhunt, multi-agencies, money, time, resources. You know, you arrest the guy, you've got him. And some federal authorities release him.
That is crazy.
And you know, but they operate under what?
Mayorkas, right.
And the president.
So I know we're running out of time in this hour. I have to correct something now. You had your correction. Now I have mine.
Okay.
You said Chester. I was envisioning Festus.
Okay.
Chester was Dennis Weaver as the deputy.
Oh.
Festus was the one that walked with a limp and jingled and needed to shave and that kind of thing. So a little correction there.
Well, that's
on
good.
On my part, so.
No, both of us.
Because we know that someone will call and go, you got it wrong. And you know who you are.
And so, it's not like we're watching whatever that TV Land or something.
No, I'm not watching that every
night. We're going back to memories from the 1960s. So
Yeah.
Sorry if we don't always get it right.
Yeah.
But at least we're attempting.
And speaking of sheriff's offices.
Oh. We're going to have a special guest coming in. Art Forgy representing the Alachua County Sheriff's Office. That is coming up next, my friends, on 97.3 The Sky. Hang in there.